Welcome to Combat Sports Talk, a podcast dedicated to UFC and Bellator discussion, the MMA community, and combat sports in general. I'm your host, Ryan Smith, and joining me this week is KC Onyebuchi.
What up, what up?
And John Keys.
Hello, world.
All right. Well, the UFC celebrated its 25th anniversary with a fight night in the city where it all started, Denver, Colorado. Headlining the card was Chan Sung Jung, better known as the Korean Zombie, and Yair Pantera Rodriguez, a late fight replacement for the injured Frankie Edgar. It was a pitched battle where a fighter was left face down, unconscious in the final moments of the fight. But before we get too far down the road, let's cover all the fights on the official decision.
The official decision.
This is the official decision. This is where we talk about the fights that were live and on air on Saturday night. And this was UFC Fight Night Denver from the Pepsi Center in Denver, Colorado, United States of America. There were six fights on the card. One fight got pulled, and that was the Ray Borg fight. He was supposed to be fighting Joseph Benavidez.
Didn't they get fired?
Oh, we're going to get to that. But Joseph Benavidez was unable to make weight, and so they pulled that fight, and so Joseph Benavidez didn't get a chance to fight. At the time they were saying they're going to try to find him another fight, but we'll get into why that may be in question a little bit later. Let's go into the results. Michael Trezano defeated Lewis the Violent Bob Ross Pena by split decision. This was a close fight. Macy Barber defeated Hannah Cyphers via elbow knife strike face.
Put that X up. Factory X in the house.
Via TKO in round two.
I'm always going to have that shout out. And we had an undercard win as well, but you know.
All right. Hey, do you think you can get Macy Barber on the show?
I cannot. I haven't seen her since the fight.
All right. Well, if you see her, tell her we're looking for her.
I'll give her a shout out in this. So, Macy Barber, check us out.
All right. Benil Dariush. You know him as the guy who walks to the ring with inappropriate music.
or totally appropriate music.
So he comes to the ring with Rock With You. And then didn't he come to Broken Vessels?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm just waiting for him to come through with Goodbye Horses at this point.
Yeah, okay, I didn't look up what he
like
walked to.
Stomp by Kirk Franklin.
You know, why don't he just come up with Amazing Grace or something like that? I mean, it's just, you know, let's. Anyway, he won his fight against Thiago Moises via unanimous decision. In a bantamweight fight, women's bantamweight fight, Jermaine Durandami defeated Raquel Pennington via unanimous decision. That fight was stopped via a low blow, which I don't think that we see very many low blows in women's MMA.
That was a first. I believe that was the first time I've ever seen that, where they actually, she took a shot to the crotch and the referee was like, hold on, we'll treat them just the same. Which I'm like, women's liberation has come a long way. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Thank you for saying that, because it starts getting a little sketchy when you start going on a riff on controversial issues. Like, thank you for stopping right there.
I'll leave it at that. Okay.
All right. In the co-main event of the evening,
what? I correctly called that fight. Just, we want to make sure that's addressed.
I think we all did. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody. Are you talking about the Randa fight or the cowboy fight?
The Randa May.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we all called for. Let's
I'm pretty
we
sure. Did, I'm pretty sure that Mr. Smith said Pennington.
No. Let the record show. What I'm going to do, since you're calling me out like that, I'm going to go and splice into the final cut my pick, so that the world can know that I did. Why would I pick Raquel Pennington? picked this one too. Raquel Pennington versus Jermaine Durami.
I'm going Rocky on this one.
Ooh. I'm going Jermaine.
I'm going Jermaine as well. I mean, Raquel Pennington is at least a little bit better than, you know, Chet Congo.
Whoa, come on.
Oh,
no.
Come on, man. How you got really?
We switched because you know that's not factually correct. Like, that's not even fact. It'd be different if you were just trying to get at me, but that is not factually correct.
Hey, how many times? Answer this for me. How many title shots has Chet Congo had?
I don't know.
Zero. How many title shots has Raquel Pennington had?
Zero.
One. She fought.
It doesn't matter.
Yes.
Here's why. She's in a different division completely. Like,
yeah, it doesn't matter. She's higher ranked than Chet Congo. Chet Congo is a true heavyweight who couldn't even get into the heavyweight Grand Prix. Come on.
Well, that reminds me of Donald Cerrone moving up weight.
Hey, he sure did. And guess what he did? He put out Mike Perry. Submitted him. Arm bar, broken arm. That's how you do it when people want to talk smack. So you should be happy with that, Casey.
No.
But see, hold on.
Broken an arm in that old.
But see, nobody's going to talk about how Mike Perry literally lifted this man with one arm. Okay, was I the only one that saw that? He snapped him into a beautiful transition into an arm bar, might I say. And Mike Perry got up, picked him up with one arm. That's a lot of man. That's 100-some-odd pounds of man on your arm, and threw him and thought he was going to shake him off, but
you know what?
Said, I'm taking the arm home. You know,
was really poor fight IQ.
Well, yeah, we'll get into that. Winner. We'll get into that too. I mean, but that's the thing, right? I mean, this is what Donald, like, we're scooping ourselves. But that's the thing that Donald Cowboy Cerrone was saying about Winklejohn. He's like, they don't game plan. They never gave me a game plan coming into these fights. He's like, this is the first time in a really long time, probably before it became Jackson Winklejohn, when it was just Greg Jackson, that he had a game plan. And so it's, you know, they probably just told Mike Perry, walk in there and punch a hole in Donald Cerrone. And, you know, Mike Perry thought, I'll take him down. That's a great idea.
Nah, I think he got frustrated. Taking a page out of the Diaz book. Oh, everybody's a boxer until they get punched. And then all of a sudden they become a wrestler. And I think that's what happened. And yeah. That was a really bad move on Mike Perry.
So, by the way, I'm going to back up just a little bit. Benil Dariush came out to Still Rolling Stones by Lauren Daigle. I have no idea what that song is.
Her new album is fire. Everyone should check it out.
Fire? Really?
Fire. We're using
it. Really good. It is well produced.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, what's the genre? What's the genre for this to be fire?
Music. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So how do you know it's fire? Like, so what does it sound like?
It sounds like music.
Oh my, does it sound goodness. Like wind instruments? Because that sounds yeah. like.
Does it have an acoustic guitar in it? I mean, not that I have anything against acoustic guitars, but still. I mean,
my love of actual music. What if I'd have said? What if he'd have walked out to like Tekashi 6ix9ine? Would that have been better?
No, someone did that.
No.
Why?
Who did that?
Oh no, someone did that. Oh, let me hold on. Give me a sec.
Who did that? Oh my God. They need to lose. I hope they lost.
Let's see here. Just give me a sec.
Just lost on you know, oh. and I'm wondering.
Guess what? Guess what?
What?
Yes, they lost. Mike Perry.
Trash like the music.
Platinum Mike Perry.
Trash like the music.
Came right. out yeah. to Tekashi 6ix9ine.
And you know what? That Cuda. Explains 99% of Platinum Mike Perry.
Right? Yeah, I mean, Platinum Mike Perry is absolutely, this is stereotypical. Like, can we just say, since we're on it, Mike Perry, you know, we already didn't like him. You know, the show was not a fan of him simply because of his, I'm 2% African, so therefore I can say the N-word comment. But then in promotion of the fight versus Cowboy Cerrone, he dressed up as a Native American and went straight stereotypical with in a Native American garb to call out Cowboy Cerrone.
Which he did do that. There's many things that have
been problematic with Mike Perry. He's just been on what appears to be a mental decline. Like, not to take it lightly at all, but his antics over the last year, year and a half have been really, really poor.
Okay, and we're just going to ignore that whole the Kobe Covington effect. You know, I think we all owe that to Kobe Covington. You know,
maybe so, but still, you know, I'm done with Mike Perry. He exhausts me. So I'm glad Cowboy Cerrone won. I actually tweeted out that I've never wanted a fighter to win as badly as I wanted Cowboy Cerrone to beat Mike Perry. And so I'm glad he did. No, don't walk out to Tekashi 6ix9ine anymore, Mike Perry.
Please.
Or do. Please, man. Every time.
Oh, yeah. Or do every time. And I hope you do it too, Colby Covington. No, Cowboy. Yeah. Cowboy walks out to the same song every time. Cowboy by Kid Rock.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Now I will say this: the Cowboy. That was that Cowboy right there. That was a very different Cowboy than we've ever seen previously. This man was a focused. He was. He had the killer instinct look in his eyes. When I saw him walking out, I was like, "This man is going to kill him." Okay, at this point, and he went out there and he handled business. You know, could it be his new regimen? Could it be the fact of his son? I think it's a little bit of both.
It's his son and the fact that now he's got two black coaches.
Yeah. I saw that. Yes.
He actually brought, they were doing a press scrum and he credited, he's like, and guess what, folks? I got black coaches.
Two of them.
Come on out here. And he brought them out.
It was like
them a little more. Because I felt like he said some racially borderline things in the past, but I feel like that's kind of a redemptive move, and I gotta say, all right, I'll give you another shot, Cowboy.
But the thing about him doing that is the fact that he's like, I got two black coaches. Can you believe it? Like I know he knows how people see him, and he's like, listen, I'm not the way you think I am, or maybe he is, but he at least owns it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
it's hard to say.
It's hard to say. Like everyone,
go check out his Instagram. Form your own independent. No, I forgot words. Let's move on.
Too many shots to the dome. Chan Sung Jung defeated. No, was defeated by Yair Rodriguez. I had this backwards on the run sheet. No one told me.
Yeah.
Yair Rodriguez defeated Chan Sung Jung via knockout in the fifth round with how many seconds remaining?
Uno, one,
four,
one.
So before the show, we had a debate. Like, everybody's pulling up their sources. Sure, dog. We went to Bruce Buffer's official announcement in the ring. I went on UFC and what they have, and it was at either 4 seconds or 1 second. We have decided that at Combat Sports Talk, we are going to say 1 second, unless you're KC, who was just trolling and said four.
Yeah, I 100% believe it's one.
One.
Because there's no way you call it at the 4 seconds. The very second right before he got knocked out is when they're calling it? Come on.
Yeah. When he heard the thud of his head hitting the ground, hitting the mat, that was it.
So okay? let's go through it. Let's go through the fight real quick, because this is a fight, and it was interesting because I saw a screenshot of the judges' scorecard, and Chan Sung Jung was winning the fight up until literally the last second.
Yeah, I totally agree. This was, you know, he did everything. This is fight of the year and knockout of the year. You might as well give him submission of the year too, just because. Okay.
Wow.
They just need extra money. Okay. This was you know what? I'll say it right now. I was upset that they just made a fight night out of this holy day of UFC fighting. Okay, because this is the 20th anniversary. You're just doing a fight night. But guess what? This entire card brought it, and this was the cherry on top of that cheesecake pie of a fight card. Okay, there was just brutality, people. Okay, if you can, watch it by any means, and I don't, legal or otherwise, I'm not saying do it otherwise, but you know, just watch this fight. Okay, this fight beats every other fight on that card.
All right, this fight was fight of the night, and Yair Rodriguez got performance of the night. This thing went back and forth. First round, Chan Sung Jung was in his face the entire round. Yair Rodriguez got some good shots in there because he is such a dynamic and unpredictable striker. But if you noticed throughout the fight, he continually threw that elbow either as a spinning elbow or, you know, I saw him throw it in the unorthodox way that he landed it at the end of the fight. So he was looking for the elbow, you know, throughout the entire fight. He just landed it at the perfect time. I was impressed by this fight. Fight of the night, absolutely. Performance of the night to Yair Rodriguez. Congratulations to those guys.
Fight of the year, knockout of the year. And you know what? And I will say this. This right here lends credence to why Anderson Silva is the GOAT. Okay, right here. Yes, hear me out just for 30 seconds.
All right, okay? You got exactly 30 seconds.
All right. Anderson Silva, for those who don't know, Ryan has this high standard of what's considered the greatest of all time. One of the main staples is that what do they bring to the fight? What do they bring to MMA? Anderson Silva brought innovation. He brought imagination because beforehand, nobody was doing crazy stuff that Anderson Silva did. Nobody did the backward elbow. Nobody punched, you know, doing knockouts from walking backwards. You know, this was all Anderson Silva.
And he was 30 seconds.
Oh, what?
Yes. That is 30 seconds.
Wow. I didn't even get the wrap it up music.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, man. I'm just, hey, you got the record scratched. That's all you got.
All right. So, moving right along.
I think he's mad because I edited the run sheet.
Let's close the book on this fight. Let's close the book on this fight. Put it on the shelf because this card is history. And let's go right into Finding the Angles.
Finding the Angles.
This is Finding the Angles. This is where we look at some of the top headlines coming out of the prior week and the weekend. First topic to talk about is the flyweight division. So we found out last week that there were flyweights, 125-pound fighters, who were getting pink slips. Now that Demetrius Johnson is gone, Henry Cejudo's looking to go up to 135 pounds to fight TJ Dillashaw. There really isn't much relevance left in the in the flyweight division. And so Dana White is saying they're working on trying to rebuild the division, but there's a lot of fighters out there who don't think that that's going to happen. Personally, for me, I'll tell you like this. I think that they are going to destroy the flyweight division. It's not a big draw. It hasn't made a lot of money for the UFC. Their number one fighter is gone, and all their other best fighters are either currently fighting at 135 or could fight at 135. So everyone who's left who have to fight at 125 aren't people that are going to really move the needle for the UFC. So I think they're going to destroy it, and it's unfortunate.
Start firing people?
Do what?
Didn't they already start firing people in that division?
They did.
Oh yeah.
So
they are salty about it.
Do you guys think that they're going to destroy the flyweight division? You think it's gone, or do you think that they're just going to rebuild it and reinvigorate it?
I think they're going to destroy it. Dominic Cruz called it. He called it a couple of months ago on the way that they were doing movement in the division. And he said, you know, they're going to get rid of it, and they're getting rid of it. They took out the best fighter in the flyweight division and traded him off to another promotion. There's nobody in there that is going to invigorate the 125-pound division. On top of that, huh?
Do you think Bellator can make 125 great again?
I think so. I think there's enough talent in there that they could, if they properly promote it, which you know, I know that's the reason why I don't think that UFC is going to reinvigorate, because they don't know how to promote that division. Okay. So yeah, Bellator could do it. One could do it.
Well, that's what I was I was thinking about. With, you know, Conor McGregor, you know, he was blowing up the president of one championship who accepted who traded Ben Askren for Demetrius Johnson. He was like, by taking Demetrius Johnson away from the flyweight division in the UFC, you have destroyed the flyweight division. So Conor McGregor was saying to him, you need to take the flyweight division and hire all of these fighters that you have displaced by taking the their greatest fighter. What do you think about that? I'm impressed by Conor for standing up for these guys.
Impressed by Conor for standing up for the guy, but he was not the one that destroyed the 125 pound. If it takes one person to, if you pull one peg out of the division and it crumbles like that, it was already destroyed. Okay, there was nothing more that could have been done. If they had properly promoted these fighters that was in the 125 pound division, it would have been sad that Demetrius would have left, but there was somebody there that would have kept it going. The welterweight division, they lost when GSP walked away. We were sad, but they promoted other fighters in there. Every other division has lost somebody that was great. But guess what? Those divisions kept going. Why? Because they promoted the fighters. Okay. 125-pound division? I'm sorry.
No,
going on my soapbox.
Yes, I'm going to start calling you Reverend Keys. Good grief, man. You are stealing your Cheerios today.
It's not quite great. But it's
yeah. I said, Lord, you gotta bring it back in. The 125 pound division.
Now, if you just reach your hands out towards your podcast player right now and send me $25 in your cash app.
We take Venmo. Please.
So check us out on our merch part of the site, because I'm buying more gear.
I gotta buy some gear too. My red combat sports talk shirt, I gotta buy another one, because I wore that bad boy out. All right, so we have all decided that the flyweight division is going away. Then riddle me this, Batman. Why is TJ Dillashaw moving to 125 pounds to fight Henry Cejudo for the flyweight championship if they're getting rid of the division anyway?
Idiot.
Well, you see, there you go. So potentially, after Henry Cejudo was wrongfully awarded the belt that belonged to DJ Demetrius Johnson, Henry Cejudo called out TJ Dillashaw and said, I am big enough to fight at 135, and so therefore I want to fight for the 135 belt. That's the bantamweight belt. Now what we're getting is TJ Dillashaw, who wanted to fight DJ, Demetrius Johnson, TJ versus DJ, but he wanted Demetrius Johnson to move up to 135. Had TJ Dillashaw moved to 125, we probably would still have a flyweight division. But instead, he wanted to fight at 135. Now he's moving to 125. When it doesn't even matter anymore. This fight doesn't matter.
And I think that's the whole point.
It doesn't matter.
That way he keeps his belt. He doesn't lose a belt. You know, he's got everything to win and nothing to lose.
Absolutely. Which you
champ,
know,
champ sounds good.
He can become a champ. Champ. He's promoting it that he is coming to destroy the 125 division. So he's definitely playing
that's
the heel.
Well,
I mean, he's the snake, right?
Yeah.
So he says he's coming to destroy the 125 division. I think that it's interesting promotion. It definitely builds a heel. But the thing is that there's people whose careers are on the line here. I mean, you know, people are getting cut. I disagree with you guys that Bellator could make anything out of 125 pounds, to be honest.
I never said it. Good.
Someone said that potentially Bellator could. I don't think they can. I mean, Bellator is struggling to stay relevant with, you know, with their light heavyweight, which hasn't seen a fight in about a year, because they're champions in the Grand Prix, the heavyweight Grand Prix. You know, when you start looking at outside of what welterweight, you know, there's not a lot of relevance there. Gegard Mousasi, he's fighting welterweights for the title. I mean, Bellator's got its own problems. You know, shout out to Bellator. But
Jake Paul comes in to save him.
So, you know, I just don't think that 125 is going to be a division that's going to persist anywhere but ONE FC, where, you know, there is a market for the smaller fighters.
Sure.
We'll see.
All right. Let's go on to Khabib Nurmagomedov flies to Nigeria to build wells and to repair water systems. Everybody's getting on this train of just celebrating Khabib for doing, you know, this amazing service in Nigeria.
Hey, as a Nigerian / American, I am 100% here for this. Like, I support it.
Yeah. So
there was no impetus. Like, he's doing this as an apology tour or whatever. Like, this is just a decent human being showing that there are still good people left in the UFC promotion.
Is it? I mean, he still has to get his punishment for what he did at UFC 229. The verdict's still out on that. Are you sure that this isn't one of those, I'm going to show myself in a good light? Are you sure?
It's still better light than anything that we've seen Conor do.
Conor made great whiskey, apparently. Okay, Proper 12 is apparently some really good stuff.
I heard it tastes like fire.
I refuse to drink it. He gets none of my money.
Yes. Oh, I wouldn't buy it. I mean, if somebody handed me a glass of it, I would not deny it.
Total marketing hokum, because he hasn't been in the whiskey game for 12 years. And if I remember correctly, unaged whiskey is just moonshine. So someone else put in the work.
No, I'm sure.
Unaged whiskey has it's about 90% alcohol, and it will. Moonshine is good. Yeah, that's good. That's good afterwards. Yeah,
it tastes like fire. I don't enjoy it.
Yes.
You know, stick with the bourbon. Be fire. Like me. Stay with the bourbon.
Well, you know, the only difference between bourbon, scotch, and whiskey is location, right? Bourbon is built. It's made only in Kentucky.
Yeah.
There's
a barrel issue.
Yeah. Beautiful place too. Gotta go.
Anywho,
So just to close out on Khabib and building wells in Nigeria, I just want to say, Igbo Kwinu, alhamdulillah.
Look, if you read the run sheet that poorly,
it's on the run sheet. I thought I had to say it.
Do not butcher my first language.
All right, give it to us. How is it supposed to be said?
I refuse to say it right now.
Why?
Why?
Because now it just feels like it's a violation. Like, dance, monkey. Not a dog whistle there. Edit that out.
I gave it a shot.
It's Igbo Kwinu. Igbo Kwinu.
Igbo Kwinu.
Ooh.
What does that mean?
It means what it means. I said what I said.
Okay. There you go.
Okay.
Now, look, our fans have been educated. They are now bilingual.
Yeah. Bilingual, and they're up on their alcohol. That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
We're providing services tonight, people. Okay.
Well, tell me more about what's happening in the world of MMA.
All right. So, after the fight, this is where, you know, Donald Cerrone had a media scrum, and he's talking about how much he is enjoying being a father, how fatherhood has changed him, all that kind of stuff. You know, fatherhood has led to him having, you know, black coaches. I mean, this is a new Cowboy Cerrone. Well, they asked him about the fact that, you know, he trained outside of Jackson Winklejohn, and, you know, he still doesn't have anything really nice to say about him. But, you know, he was like, listen, this is, I'm in a better place now. You know, I'm glad I'm gone from.
Where is he at now?
He's at his own camp. He has his own camp in Denver.
I think he's calling it the ranch.
Yeah, it's called the ranch.
But he also had a ranch out in Arizona as well.
No, this one is in Colorado, so it might not be in Denver. Let me not say Denver. It's in Colorado, but it's called the ranch. And he also has a fight promotion that it's called Cowboy Fight something. Cowboy Fights.
Cowboy Fights here.
Something like that.
Something like that.
And so what they're focusing on are amateur fighters. And so basically when they find an amateur fighter, they move them into the ranch. They live on the ranch and train on the ranch. And then they fight. And as they develop, they get, you know, they get opportunities to potentially fight for larger promotions. So,
I mean, like Roman gladiators,
I don't know if it's like Roman gladiators, but, you know, they do, you know, he is looking for talent. He is, you know, working with amateurs and he's, hoping to find a way to get them onto the, you know, to the main, you know, the main promotions. But after he went on and said what he said, Coach Mike Winklejohn went on Instagram and he threw out some major hate for Donald Cerrone. So what he says is this is about loyalty. Loyalty is two-sided, especially for the media, who only sees one side. Where was Cowboy Cerrone the last 10 years helping others in the gym? Nowhere to be found. He didn't come to our classes. He didn't even use Greg Jackson in his last two fight camps. When he came, he would grab some sparring partners and he would take those sparring partners back to his ranch where he would pay for fun, free stuff. So those guys would just go up there. Sometimes they would stay and train, and they would lose. Any gym owner will tell you, cancer has to be removed. It's removed. The gym has no drama. It's a happy place. I'm a happy guy. That being said, I really wish Mike Perry had not taken down Cowboy Cerrone. So that's, you know, calling him a cancer. I don't know what it's like over there, but all I do know is that Cowboy Cerrone has said that since they joined forces, Greg Jackson and Mike Winklejohn, the place has not been the same. That, you know, the quality of the fight camp has just gone down. And I don't know. What we need to do is spend some time looking at the statistics of when Mike Winklejohn and Jackson joined forces and what the overall record for Jackson Winklejohn fighters is. I don't think that it's that great. I mean, you got people like Holly Holm and John Jones, you know, holding up the, you know, holding the fort. But I think overall, you probably don't have that great of a record compared to some of the other fight camps. And even if you do, I think you still lose some of the luster because of the controversy that they've seen with the PEDs. And, you know, part of that is John Jones, but it's not just John Jones. It's other fighters as well.
Well, I'll say it like this. Okay, I saw both interviews. Donald Cerrone's was like 11 minutes, and Coach Winklejohn was 2. And you can definitely tell where the animosity sits. Okay, Cerrone has no beef with Greg Jackson. Okay, all his problems is with Coach Winklejohn. Coach Winklejohn, however, that 2 minutes was salty. Okay, and it's air apparent that he could have said more, but it wouldn't have been a family friendly show at that point.
Or the fact that he's on Instagram, and so he's kind of limited to how much time he can.
I'm sure he could have had some extra volumes onto that. You know,
fair. Continue. That's all you got.
Oh, that's unbelievable. I mean, well, I could say more if you like there.
No, that's fine. You're absolutely right. I want to get to the final story of the night. Bare knuckle fighting. Finally. Of our former UFC fighters, some of the fighters that we have enjoyed watching in the octagon are now fighting bare knuckle. The first is Johnny Hendricks, and he got KO'd quick. Yeah. Man.
Timber. Like,
yeah, I mean, this was, you know, this was bad. He got crumpled up. He got hit in the face, and he just fetal position. Like, man, put me back in, mama.
And Chris Lieben defeats Phil Baroni. Phil Baroni was a UFC fighter at one
absolutely
time.
Absolutely.
He had a very short career, but Chris Lieben was putting it to him, and I was impressed. I was like, oh, I thought Chris Lieben was retired, and apparently not.
Well, he's retired because, you know, he don't want to get kicked by Uriah Hall anymore. Like, that his last fight in the UFC was like, woo, I'm not coming out for round two. Just go ahead and tell him he can win.
And
you got it. It, you know, I'm done. You not only defeated me, you have retired me.
You want some of this, old man?
No.
Nope.
So, you know, shout out to Chris Lieben. You know, it's good to see him. You know, he's one of those guys. He was an original cast member of The Ultimate Fighter. He had a great career, fought some of the biggest names in the UFC. His, probably one of his biggest fights was against an up-and-coming Anderson Silva. And, you know, it's just, I'm glad to see that he's doing it. But if you want my opinion, or if you don't, I'm not all for this bare knuckle fighting. I'm not feeling it.
Dude,
I'm not for it.
I guess I'm in the opinion that I am for it. I think it's, you know, wrap them knuckles up and fight like you're going to fight on the streets. I mean, this UFC 1 was bare knuckle, people. Okay. Yeah,
but it was it was designed to be a showcase of different martial arts to see what is the better one. That bare knuckle fighting is just boxing without boxing gloves.
True. But combat sports should be bare knuckle. Okay, in my opinion. And I'll say, and I'll leave it at that, because that's a whole segment for another day.
All right. Well, let's plan the bare knuckle debate for next week.
Ooh. Gotcha.
Bare knuckle debate.
Gotcha.
All right. Well, and that is it.
Whoever loses the debate has to fight bare knuckle.
Listen, you got 240 plusers. We ain't fighting. We are going to have a war of words, and that's about as far as it's going to go.
I'm not that's training. All I got.
Man, that's too much exercise, just thumb wrestling.
Man. Yeah, I know, right?
So, all right. So, there it is. That is the finding the angles. Now let's get into the fights that are coming up this weekend with the fight card. This is the fight
this
card.
This is the fight card.
This is where we look at the fights that are happening this weekend. They're coming to us from Buenos Aires, Argentina. UFC
Can you
fight.
Run that one more time? Where's that?
Buenos Aires. Is that better?
I don't think that's how good air is spelled. It sounded like it.
Buenos Aires.
Ay, okay. Perfecto.
Okay.
All right.
Jeremy.
Come on.
Dale otra vez.
Buenos Aires. Is that better?
Claro que sí.
Buenos Aires.
Vamos a empezar.
No? All right. No. I was getting ready to scroll up a little bit higher and try to say something else again. UFC Fight Night. Magny versus Ponzinibbio from Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Did you switch into a Portuguese accent there?
Man,
Buenos
I can't. I can't do it. All right, we have six fights on the card. Strawweight fight: Cynthia Calvillo. Calvillo? Is it Vilio?
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia Calvillo.
Wait, how do you say tortilla?
Tortilla, of course.
Oh,
boy. I'm kidding. Tortilla.
This is double Calvillo. Okay.
No. It's tortilla. Cynthia Calvillo versus Pollyanna Botello. We've got Guido Canel. All right, y'all read it.
It's not even an L in that.
I'm self-conscious. I'm self-conscious because you guys are talking about my poor Spanish. If these were French names, I'd be crushing it right now.
Well, this one's Italian. I don't know why you're
struggling. Yeah, this is Italian. We got in the bantamweight division, Guido Canetti versus Marlon Vera. There. I can't do this next one, the middleweight. So,
Cesar Ferrer.
Who, me?
Yeah, you get the middleweight one.
I don't get paid enough for this. I don't want to become a
sensitive. All right, here we go. Let's tighten this up right now. Cesar Ferreira versus Tom Breeze. You got Khalil Roundtree Jr. versus Johnny Walker. I feel bad for Khalil Roundtree's liver, because, man, Johnny Walker's all about liver shots, man.
Mm.
Oh, I see what you did.
You see
there.
What I did there?
Yeah.
Any Hoosiers.
Yeah. By the way, Guido Canetti is from Argentina.
Argentina?
That's right. So, you know, y'all, it may sound Italian.
Just because you're from Argentina doesn't mean your name isn't from Italy.
No.
For the record,
if you are from Argentina and you were born in Argentina and someone gave you your name, then your name is from Argentina.
No, it's verdad.
Ricardo Lamas versus Darren Elkins in the co-main event. This is a number 12 fight versus a number 13. You got the Bully versus the Damage. And then for the main event, Neil Magny versus Santiago Gentiboa Ponzinibbio.
I like both of these guys. I'm starting to like Neil more. I thought he had so much more potential, but this dude is he's a likable guy.
Mm-hmm. I agree, but Ponzinibbio, I see him squeezing the life out of him on this one. Sorry.
All right, let's go with some flash fight picks then. Let's go with Khalil Roundtree Jr. versus Johnny Walker. I know that John, you wanted to pick that fight.
Yeah, Johnny Walker. I'm gonna give the puncher's chance. Even though you're right, he will get destroyed. Okay, we know this, but I'm always one for the puncher's chance. And just a name like Johnny Walker, come on, he needs to come out with like a cane, a hat, and like some old rag time, and he'll win.
All right, I got Khalil Roundtree Jr. I think that Khalil Roundtree is just going to murder this guy. He just needs to keep on walking. Casey?
I'm going to abstain from this this fight pick just because the Nostradamus of MMA does not have enough data.
All right. Ricardo Lamas, the Bully, versus Darren Elkins. This is a great fight. I'm gonna go ahead and make this pick. I like Darren Elkins in this fight, actually. Ricardo Lamas is a great fighter, but I think he's starting to slow down. I'm going with Darren Elkins.
Dang it. I was really hoping you were going the Lamas route so I could talk mad trash to you all week.
Nope. So I guess you're going Elkins too?
I'm Team Elkins.
All right. John.
It's a 3-for-3. It's 3-for-3. I'm going Darren Elkins as well.
Darren Elkins. And in the main event of the evening, you got Neil Magny versus Santiago Ponzinibbio. KC, you said you're going with Neil Magny?
Did I?
I didn't know. You said you were liking him more, so I thought you were.
Just because we like the guy, that would be going to win. I mean,
you know what? I'm going to go Neil Magny, but only if he's able to keep the pace slowed down. If Santiago can push the pace in the first round, then Neil's going to be in trouble quick.
Yeah.
So I'm calling it for Neil, assuming that he's got a good game plan in place to slow down the pace.
All right. John?
I'm going to stick with Ponzinibbio. I think he's a veteran guy. Neil Magny's a great guy. He's got a lot of potential, just not tonight.
For me, I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Santiago Ponzinibbio. This guy is on a 6-fight win streak. His only loss was Lorenz. His last loss was Lorenz Larkin. We covered that one. That was the whole protect the fighter and let him fight debate. So that was 2015. He hasn't lost since June 27th, 2015. I'm going to go with Santiago Ponzinibbio. I think this is a good call.
Wait, at one point, wasn't Ponzinibbio supposed to fight my Nigerian friend?
Yes, and then Ponzinibbio got hurt, and so he ended up fighting Kamaru Usman ended up fighting the most dangerous welterweight in the world.
Oh, my gosh. I don't want to do this again. You're wrong. Just accept it.
I'm sorry. See, this is what you get whenever you make, you know, you try to mess with me with Chet Congo.
There's nothing messing with Chet Congo. One of the best heavyweights that has ever existed in mixed martial arts.
So if you check an earlier show, I don't know what show it is, but that Damian Maia was the most dangerous welterweight, you know, because of his superior jiu-jitsu and ground game. And then he got rolled up by Colby Covington, and KC doesn't want to let me live it down. So So Neil Magny, you know, is on a 2-fight win streak. You know, his big name is Carlos Condit. I just don't like his odds. All right, anything else? Shout out to Stan Lee, who passed this today.
Yes.
95 years old. Excelsior.
Lived a good life.
All right. Here we go. Follow us on social media on Twitter. I'm at CST Ryan.
And I am at CST underscore Casey.
That's correct.
Look, and I am at Keys to Victory, and that's Keys with the ES.
All right. You can check out the website at www.combatsportstalk.com. You can also find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Facebook, Spotify, and Instagram. We have merchandise. You heard us talking about it. Go to Amazon. Search for Combat Sports Talk. That Combat Sports Talk logo t-shirt is a big seller. It is our number one seller. I know that I'm getting another red one. KC is getting some. John, you know.
I need to get some. I need to get my black shirt.
There you go. All right. And we add a new section on the website for live events. Check out our UFC 230 event with the double champ, George Stallworth. All right, let's get out of here. Our theme music is composed by Scott McCurry at scottdeancountry.com. KC Onyebuchi produced our lead-ins. I want to thank you for joining us for another edition of Combat Sports Talk. For KC Onyebuchi and John Keys, I'm Ryan Smith, reminding you, keep your hands up, chin tucked, and throw bombs.